Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus. I am so glad that you joined me on today. I want you to grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. Today's lesson is going to be the hiding place, and we're going to find that over in Psalms 91. So why don't you turn to Psalms chapter number 91, and we'll look at that scripture on today and enjoy this wonderful lesson. Father, we ask that, God, that you will bless us on today. Bless our hearers, Lord. Father, as they receive of your word today, let it be, Lord, a word that will strengthen, fortify, and undergird your people. And God, we thank you. We'll give you praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Our focus for today is if we live close to God, he will take care of us. And we must trust him as never before. Now, Psalms 91 states, he that lives, dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide up under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilent. He shall cover thee with his feather, and under his wings shall thy trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shall thy behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angel charge thee in all thy way. They shall bear thee up in their hand, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adders, and the young lion and the dragger shall thy trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And so our focus is going to be on Psalms 91 and verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, safety and security is very important to our spiritual and physical well-being. When the mind is tormented with fear and uncertainty, stress takes a toll on the entire person. But there is a secret place that enables a child of God to cover by the shadows of the Almighty. How important it is that the place of the shelter is a time of danger. Christians suffer the same troubles, affliction, and problems, and as well as diseases as non-believers endure. Serving Jesus gives us a person no guarantee that he will escape the suffering that others face. However, one thing is sure, God cares meticulously for his people and will strengthen and empower them in times of trouble. Now, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth in it and is safe, Proverbs 18 and 19. We could not possibly place our trust in anything better than in the Lord. He has never failed. However, there is no reason to ever fail. How strong is the tower of safety into which the righteous may run and seek refuge? It is absolutely impregnable. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28:18. He has provided for every child of God a secret place of refuge where he can find safety through the power of Christ Jesus. Now, this place, desire, Jesus likened our relationship to him as a branch that is joined to a vine. If we are to survive, we must stay attached to the life giver and the life-giving vine that's going to give forth the life. Moreover, it is vital that we produce fruit. Otherwise, we will be cut off. While we are abiding in Christ, we will need pruning from time to time, and this process enables us to become more spiritually healthy and productive. Those who withered spiritually, however, become fuel for the fire of destruction. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. When we are able to become fruit-bearing disciples, it glorifies our Heavenly Father. This brings great joy, but it also creates great joy for our lives. Now, the place of intimacy finds of this hiding place that we become more intimately acquainted with the Lord. As we draw closer to God, we learn about things about him and that we would otherwise never discover. The psalmist spoke of an intimacy that can exist between God and his people. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel, Psalm 103:7. While the congregation of Israel was beholding God's acts, Moses saw into the ways of God. He moved into the unique place of special relationship with God with fear and trembling, Hebrews 12:21. No one accidentally penetrates this covenant experience with God. It is indeed a secret place. Living in this place of growing intimacy with God depends on a person's relationship with God. Let's look at the place of a relationship. It is in the secret place that a person develops a genuine, deepening relationship with the Lord. Unfortunately, some people settle for a one-time experience with God when they have received the Holy Ghost. They fail to grasp the receiving of the Holy Ghost is only the beginning of the relationship with God, not the apex of that relationship. Such individuals derive themselves of a deeper need of their soul. The more often we enter this refuge provided to us by God, the greater our desire becomes to live in safe and confronting atmosphere. On the other hand, a person's desire for frequenting his spiritual fortress wanes and dies when he caters to the whims of his fleshly desire. The time we spend close to the Lord, the more we desire his continued fellowship. The stronger our attachment to him becomes, the greater the influence he has on us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord as changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The more we discover about the Lord, the greater our desire burns to know more about him. The longer we abide in the shadow secret place, the more we are like him in attitude, spirit, and vision. The promised claim, Psalms 91, depicts that the happy state of the godly. Life is lived best with the blessing and the approval of God. Life lived apart from God is empty and void, in spite of our environment and many activities. But if we anchor our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has promised to be our refuge, fortress, and trust. It is a folly to derive ourselves of these blessings. Let's look at it. God is a refuge. Number 35 tells of six cities designated as a city of refuge. Those were havens where innocent individuals received protection from the wrath of those seeking vengeance. If a person accidentally took another person's life, he could flee to the city of refuge. If the congregation found him to be innocent, he was allowed to abide there until the death of his high priest and to return home. He was found guilty of murder, However, the one seeking to revenge another's death could kill him. In the church age, individuals are pardoned of all sin when they repent and turn from their sins and through faith turn to God and his grace. It's a very real sense. The church becomes their city of refuge. They are safe as long as they remain in the body of Christ, the church. However, since the death of our great high priest, which is Jesus, we are protected or covered by the blood from the judgment of our sins. How wonderful is the spiritual work wrought in our lives through the repentance and through water baptism in the name of Jesus, Luke 24 and 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. But the work is not completed through repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus. God completes the works of redemption in our life when he fills us and seals us with his Holy Spirit. Moreover, receiving the Holy Ghost becomes a source of spiritual strength, help, and hope for every Christian. Isaiah 25 and 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall. When we are in God's refuge and the enemy directs a storm at us, it hits a stone wall. God is our refuge and shield. Moreover, he is our fortress in which we may find complete shelter and safety. God is the fortress. God is our fortress, our refuge and fortress to us. A fortress is a place permanently fortified for defense. In addition to protecting us, he enables and equips us to successfully fight our spiritual battles. We hear much about spiritual warfare today, spiritual war that is waged between Satan and the people of God is very real. All Christians have enjoyed some wonderful victories, but there also have been times when they feel as if they have suffered some defeat. But the end result of this great and spiritual battle is not determined by one's skirmish. We know that the ultimate victory belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. David declared, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer," Samuel 22 and 2. He declared that God was his rock, his shield, his horn of salvation, his high tower, his refuge, his savior, who saved from him from violence. And you'll see that over in 2 Samuel 22 and 3. The Almighty equipped David with the courage and strength to avoid the temptation to retaliate when Saul and his enemy hunted him like an animal and sought to destroy him. He found his help and strength in the Lord, a fortress. Now, our strength is in the Lord. Paul admonished the Ephesians to utilize everything that was made available to them by the Lord. See Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We have many weapons at our disposal. For example, truth is a priceless weapon. It is the best defense and protection from false doctrine. We also have a breastplate of righteousness, which is not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost imputes the righteousness of Christ to us when we receive the Spirit. His righteousness replaces our righteousness, which is like filthy rags, Isaiah 64 and 6. Having our feet equipped with the preparations of the gospel of peace for us an assurance and tranquility in times of trials and uncertainty. Paul was alluring to the sandals with long spikes on the sole, which was worn by the soldiers for stability. Sure-footed saints do not slip and fall in moment of crisis. Now, the shield of faith is able to put out the wildfire that Satan's dart seeks to ignite. Unfortunately, our fleshly desires provide a fertile soil for the adversary of our soul. The work of the flesh mentioned by the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Christian Galatia provides quite a list of potential spiritual problems. But faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ extinguishes the fiery darts of Satan. Moreover, the glorious truth of our salvation provides us with intellectual knowledge, our helmet of salvation. The Word of God provides us with the knowledge necessary to defeat Satan. Now, God is my trust. Trust in God is the ultimate measure of one's spiritual experience. Faith is the substance of things for which we hope is reciting our human will to the divine will of God. It is a matter of simply knowing that he will do the right thing, whether it brings the results we want or not. Psalms 20:7 says, some trusted in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We should consider what is the object of our trust. Displaced trust is sure to bring disappointment. Trusting in fleshly or human solution often brings hurt. Trusting in material goods usually bring bankruptcy to the soul. An eternity of regrets await those who trust in vanity and pride. Only trusting in the Lord will bring us eternal satisfaction and the best result for our present circumstances. There are few people who enjoy a perfect sense of peace of God. Many people are restless and dissatisfied, unhappy, as happiness has reaped an epic proportion even in our world. But God has made a great promise to those who dare to place their trust and confidence in him. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee, Isaiah 26:3. Job's ability to trust God in all his affliction is an amazing testimony. For the Lord to allow Satan to test Job in every area of his life, except for taking his life, spoke volume about the strength of God's character and was the greatest compliment God could bestow upon Job. Though he experienced the loss of 10 children, his herd, his flock, his health, and the respect of his wife and friends, Job still trusted God. Reeling under the impact of the blow after blow from all sides, Job declared, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before God. Job 13:15. There was no way that Job could have known at that moment that at the latter end of his life, he would be more blessed than at the beginning. His ability to keep his trust in God paid off in this life and eternity, and in eternity as well. Now let's take a look at the divine providence. God cares for humanity is beyond our comprehensive. We do not need to be loved any more than we are. Rather, our need is to be able to respond to God's greatest love with complete submission. Let's look at God will deliver. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Now, God is the expert on handling people. Since he created man, he knows just what to do in every situation. There are numerous examples in the Bible of miraculous deliverance, even as Lot and his family lingered in their reluctance to leave Sodom. Angels took them by the hand and set them outside the city, Genesis 19:16. Lot's wife fortified her deliverance by disobeying the command to look back. Daniel and the three Hebrews were delivered while in captivity. Enemies of true worship conspired to pass laws against prayers to the real God. They also sought to make it mandatory for the Hebrew to worship their handcrafted idol. When the cruel test came, however, the Hebrew young men all passed with flying colors. They were delivered from the fiery furnace unharmed, Daniel 3:17-18. Daniel praying caused him to be known and thrown into the den of hungry lions. But Daniel testified, when it was over, my God has sent this angel and has shut the mouth, the lion's mouth, and that they have no hurt to me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Daniel 6:22. The Lord know every temptation, trials, and hardship that the child of God faced today. Paul admonished Timothy that the Lord would deliver him from every evil work and preserve him unto his heavenly kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:18. Now, we must recognize that God will cover. Now, the protective covering God provides for his children often is compared to a hen shielding her brood from the attack of a hawk that would devour the young. Jesus offered this kind of protection to the inhabitants of Jerusalem in his days, but they refused him, Matthew 23:37. They chose desolation instead. Child of God, today face many dangers as well, some hidden, others that are open and exposed. The danger that we are secret and hidden from us are not hidden from our Lord. He sees and knows all, them all. Moreover, it is the Lord who delivers us from the snare of the fowler. It would not be, if it were not for the help we receive from the Lord, we would have been devolved long ago. Satan knows all of our vulnerability. He is aware of our weaknesses as humans, and he concentrates on them. Our spiritual survival is tribute to the ability of our God, our great God. On the night of the Passover, it was the blood of the slain lamb that protected the firstborn in each Israelite home in Egypt. Every home not covered by the blood experienced death. To be covered by the blood of Jesus is what preserves life today. Those who have the blood applied through repentance of sin, water baptism in Jesus' name, receiving of the Holy Ghost, are abiding in the secret place of the Most High. They are under the shadow of the Almighty. The truth of God's word is to them both a shield and a buckler and a protector. Now, God will dispel fear. One of our greatest things that God does for his children is to give them peace. The peace of God provides victory over fear. There is no greater threat to tranquility than the torment of fear. It damages us physically, mentally, and spiritually. It is the byproduct is worry. The devil has successfully used the fear to bring people into bondage, but the Holy Ghost leads us into liberty. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15 declared that when he was afraid, he would trust in God. Psalm 56:3. To know that God is working in our lives and are willing to allow him to mold us and shape us involves trusting him. We must be willing to cooperate with his plan instead of devising plans of our own. The terror of what night may bring is overcome by the realization that we have a divine protection. The danger caused by an attack from the enemy does not intimidate the people of God. Moreover, dread of unknown cannot paralyze those who trust in the Lord. Now, Psalms 23:4 say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When death and destruction are on every hand, no harm befalls us. It is time to know that our best trust is in the Lord, is well placed. Now let's look at God assures victory. Because the Lord is our refuge, we have assurance that victory is ours. Salvation, healing, deliverance, protection, companionship, rest, food, both naturally and spiritually, our blessing that comes becomes ours. Moreover, God has given charge to us says angels keep us in all of our ways, Psalms 91:11. As long as we remain under the shadow of the Almighty, we are secured. Now, let me say that again. As long as we remain under the shadow of the Almighty, we are secured. And so I encourage you to stay up under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, witness of Jehovah, in the first 13 verses of Psalms 91, the psalmist discussed the protection and security provided by those absolutely placed their trust in God. Beginning with the verse 14, Jehovah declared his commitment to the faithful. He challenges people to prove him by trusting him and by continual faithfulness. God does not mind being put to the test. The scripture admonishes us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto our own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. Divided alliances hinders God's desire to minister to us and help us. While some Christians whose heart once burned with fire of the Holy Ghost have lost most of their zeal, we must avoid the apathetic spirit of the Laodicean at all costs. We must not leave our first love, but be faithful to him. Now, why God is mindful of us? Because he has set his love upon us. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name, Psalms 91:14. We set our love upon God because we know his name. The thing that set up the apostolic apart from others is their illuminated understanding of who Jesus is. Knowing that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh causes us to love him in a unique way. We realize that Jesus' name is above all others, Philippians 2:9-10. There is salvation in no other name, Acts 4:12. Because of this understanding, our worship of Jesus Christ anchors our lives in his love, in his grace, and in his security. Now, God's response, heartfelt, sincere, fervent worship brings a favorable response from God. Through the ages, God's people have enjoyed tremendous victory. Many victories came as a direct response from God because his people worshiped him. God answered prayer. The promise of answered prayers is not given to all people. It is confined to those who direct their love towards the Lord. God will always give us his best and what is best. It may not be the answer for which we are looking for, but it will always be the right thing. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. There are many promises in Scripture that pertain to Christians today. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, John 15:7. This promise, however, excludes those who are not abiding in Christ and those who do not keep his word. Now, God is present in the times of trouble. Trouble is unavoidable since the advent of sin into the world. Job summarized life. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of problems. Full of trouble. Job 14:1. Since it is impossible to evade trouble, it is encouraging to know that God is ever present and he will direct us, protect, and provide the necessary strength for our survival. Jacob's conversation with the Pharaoh when Joseph introduced them testified of the trouble. He considered 130 years as a short span of time and brought him much evil, Genesis 47:9. So in all his hurt, however, God brought him and Joseph together after years of Jacob believing that Joseph was dead. Joseph's life was also filled with trouble. The jealousy of his brothers led to being sold into slavery. The lies of Potiphar's wife caused his imprisonment. A cellmate, butler, to whom he had been kind, forgot him. But God went with him through all the troubles and elevated him to the second in command in Egypt. His brethren who had wronged him were forced to humble themselves and ask Joseph for mercy. You know, God will deliver. There are many instances of miraculous deliverance throughout the Bible. The writer of Hebrews listed several. What shall I say more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Japheth, of David, of Samuel, of the prophet. And so through faith, subdued kingdom, walk righteousness, attain promises, stop the mouth of lions, quench the violence of the fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, wax valiant in fight, and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. That's Hebrews 11, verse 32 and 34. Apostle Paul was delivered along with 275 others when the ship he was on was suddenly caught in the storm. After the ship ran aground and broke up, he also suffered the bites of a vehement beast. While those around waited for his soon death, he shook the snake off into fire and suffered no ill effects. His second letter to the church at Corinth listed several precarious situations in which God delivered him. Over in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 28, you will find that. Most importantly, the Lord delivered his people from the bondage of sin. God will honor. God declared that his feeling towards those who trust in him and promise is to deliver and to exalt and honor them. Solomon's wise choice is asking for wisdom prompts God to bestow other blessings upon them. When we please God by our choice in life, it brings God's approval and blessing. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all day. And if thou wilt walk in thy ways and keep thy statute and my commandment as my father David did, then I will lengthen thy days. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. The Lord will humble those who exalt themselves and honor those who humble themselves. The highest compliment one can receive is when God compliments his children. The Lord can take an obscure child of God and elevate them to a position of promising and influence to do his will in spite of overwhelming opposition on every side. God does not need the arm of flesh to assist him. He even can cause the enemy, evil intent of enemies, to become a blessing to his beloved people. Now let's look at the promise of life and salvation. A full and satisfying life is one of the many rewards of putting our trust in God. David proclaimed the happy, blessed, and state of godly in the Lord. Having reached an advanced age and looking back over his life, David stated that he's never seen the right God forsake the righteous people. He's never seen the righteous forsaken. The greatest promise contained in 91 is the promise of salvation. There are many who fail to recognize the exceeding wickedness of sin. To be set free from the curse and the bondage of sin is no small matter. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have received a great salvation. It is so great that even the angels desire it. When our trust in God is complete, we can experience total victory over sin. Now, in my conclusion on today, we must recognize, children of God, that those who place their complete trust in God and confidence in the Lord, God, Jesus Christ, can know and enjoy the provision of safety and security and have promised us a haven of rest, a hiding place in the seclusion of the secure sanctuary. Startling revelation becomes ours. The deceased discovery becomes stabilizing influences, wellsprings, or a fortress of protection to us. It is in here that our lives become hidden with Christ in God. Promises become real and personal experience in Jesus Christ. We are awakened in vital truth that becomes ours. We become to understand that God gives deliverance in our days just as he gave deliverance to David and the others in their days. Moreover, we come to realize that we are covered and protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood protects us from the destruction of Satan. Instead of cowering in fear and faith, faith calls us to abound in the grace of God. Victory is ours. Now, Father, finally, God revealed that he is mindful of us, and we will receive the wonderful scriptural understanding of God manifested in the flesh. We enter into a special relationship with him. Our salvation in Jesus Christ has brought us into a new and blessed dimension of living as the people of God. We have a new life living under the protection of the shadow of the Almighty. I tell you, child of God, this is such a blessing to know that we are dwelling and living up under the shadow of the Almighty. I pray that you will stay there, be content there, be conscious, God conscious of that place with God as you walk and move and have your being throughout this land and world, that you are up under the shadow of the Almighty. Bring your children, your children's children, under the shadow of the Almighty. Teach them, let them know, give them understanding of it, and watch God greatly bless them. I pray that you've been blessed by this lesson on today. I pray that it encouraged you, it brought back to remembrance your standing with God, your place of safety with him, and not have to walk or live in the spirit of fear, but a spirit of peace, love, joy, and righteousness and power and a sound mind. Amen. Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. We pray, oh God, a fortress, amen, around about your people, around about their mind, our children and our children's children, that your sovereign and your holy will be done and accomplished for the glory of the Father which is in heaven. And Father, we thank you for what you've done. Now, bless we your people, and Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we praise your blessed name for what you've done and what you're going to do in and through the lives of your people. And Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. May you forever stay up under the shadow of the Almighty, the hiding place that the Lord our God hath established. Go back and read Psalms 91. Read it over and pray it over your children and pray it over your family, your marriage, your relationship, and watch God's blessing in a mighty and a special way. Until we meet again, call someone, remind them to come and join us at home. Amen. Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. I know their life will be greatly impacted by the word of the Lord our God. And so tell someone and encourage them to come and visit us here at home. Until we meet again, I pray that you're blessed. The blessings of the Lord will continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. And as I always say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you're one question away from your miracle. All you have to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. May God bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.